15 plus or minus an hour.
Mr. Beal, would you stand and pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for just the technology that we have, that at the last minute we can get a phone call and you've laid something on Tim's heart that we're to hear, and that we, each of us has the flexibility that you've blessed us with the opportunity to get here. I just ask that you steady Tim's nerves, give him full confidence and power to share what you've given him, that we can hear it. Help us to hear it. In Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, I've been looking into the idea, not the idea, but the story of Balaam and his doctrine. The book of Revelation says that Balaam has a doctrine, and so I read through the story of Balaam, and then I read through it again, and again, and again, and then I took all four times that Balaam spoke, and I looked at why he spoke, and when God spoke through him, and I considered that, and then we're going to look at that, we're going to read through much of the story, but then we're also going to look at the doctrine of Balaam. And what the New Testament has to say about what Balaam said. So Joshua will speak of what Balaam said. Moses will speak of what Balaam said. And then you'll see other times where it references, this is what Balaam did. And this was the reaction, this was the response of people to Balaam. We're also going to look at his doctrine and how it applies to us today. Very strongly applies to us today. So we'll just start in Joshua chapter 13. Verse 22. It's a good description. Yes, sir. Joshua chapter 13. Feel free to raise your hand, ask a question. So it says here, speaking of Balaam, it said, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer. So Balaam was a soothsayer. Verse 22. You're fine. Verse 22. So Balaam was a soothsayer. He was somebody that sought after enchantments. So we're going to see in the text that goes through his story, his time where Balak, the king of we're going to see the king of Moab. He is going to hire Balaam, and he's going to get Balaam and push him four times, curse Israel. And the first two times, Balaam is going to seek after enchantments to try to curse Israel. And then the third time, it's going to say that, and he saw that God did not want to curse Israel. It did not please God to curse Israel, but it pleased God to bless Israel. And so he's no longer going to seek after enchantments. So he's going to use the words of God. Balaam is. Every time it'll say that God put the word in Balaam's mouth, and then he'll speak a parable four times. And eventually, he'll prophesy of Jesus Christ. But in the end, Balaam, as wicked of a man that he was, even with the word of God in his mouth, he gets Israel to sin. But we know of him that he's a soothsayer. It says here, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. So now, let's go to Numbers, the story, chapter 22 of Numbers. We'll skip where we can, but there's going to be a good amount of reading.
Numbers what?
Numbers chapter 22. Joshua, would you go ahead? I'll start the reading. I'm going to get some people to help read with this. So we'll start in chapter 22. I'll read through. I have a couple points to make. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side, Jordan, by Jericho. So now Israel's already been out of Egypt for some time, and they've already done some damage to the people of the land. And Balak, king of Moab, he's taken notice, and he's going to take counsel with the Midianites. He's going to speak to them, and they're going to become a cohort and try to do wickedness against Israel. And in verse 2, the new paragraph, it says, "And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor." So Balaam from Pethor has a messenger sent to him, messengers, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land, for I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." His first mistake is that he assumed Balaam had the power to curse what God has blessed. And in verse 7 it says, remember he had spoken with the Midianites, he makes counsel with them in verse 4, and then in verse 7 it says, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, after their meeting, departed with the rewards of divination." So he's one that divines. He's a soothsayer. He follows that. These things are very real. Soothsaying, it says that rebellion or stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. There is witchcraft. There is divination. There is soothsaying. And Balaam was a man that did these things. "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak." So now they've made counsel together, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to talk to Balaam. Joshua, would you stand and read from verse 8 all the way to the end of verse 14?
"And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, have sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us.
So they've asked him, he's refused, and they go back and they say, he's not going to come. And so then in verse 15 it says, "And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor." There's the temptation. "And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." So he's going to obey God in this. "Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." So God's already spoken to him. He's going to go back. "And God came unto Balaam that at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab." So God gets pretty angry about this. Mr. Beal, could you read from verse 22 through the end of verse 35?
"And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there wear a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak.
So Balaam messed up pretty bad. He's pretty aware that he messed up pretty bad because he almost died, and God had to use the ass to speak to Balaam, and Balaam suddenly is very aware that he's messed up. But Balaam messed up because he's wicked. The Bible said, If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So verse 36, And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. He does that, and more. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-huzzath. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. So he does this four times. He brings him to a place, and he says, curse him. And so we're going to see the first occurrence of this. Chapter 23. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven oxen and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. It seems that God's pleased with this. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place, and God met Balaam. And he said unto him, I have prepared seven altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and said,
Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram. So he's going to tell the story again. It gets retold over and over. Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. So he's going to try to take him to another place where he can't see all of Israel. That's his tactic. That's his new thought. Go ahead.
But he said it was only the fourth part.
He said you can't even number the fourth part of Jacob. He can see them. It says, it's an interesting thought. So it'll say over and over in the Old Testament that he will multiply the seed of Israel as the sand of the sea. And I've asked my dad about that, and I think the closest I can come to an assumption on that is you can't number them because of the multitude in that their order. You couldn't go and actually number all of them. And God would even say, do not number my people. He says you can't even number the fourth part of them. And he'll say again, there's so many. There's so many. That's their complaint. That's what Balak's complaint was, is there are so many of them. What are we even going to do? So he needed them to be cursed before he could fight them. Good question. Verse 14. And he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah and built seven altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. So he does it again. And he said unto Balak, stand here by the burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And so he tells him. And he took up his parable and said, again he takes up a parable, and said, similar to the Lord, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall it he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Not for long. That's what Balaam ends up accomplishing, is putting perverseness into Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there was no enchantment against Jacob. So Balaam the soothsayer, the diviner, the enchanter, says there is no enchantment against Jacob. He's run into that wall. Neither is there any divination against Israel. So he says there's no perverseness in Israel. And there's no iniquity in Jacob. And he says there's no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. New paragraph. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, that looketh, remember, you hear Baal Peor? This is where it happens. Not out of his mouth right now. He brings him to the top of Peor, so it's another place, that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven bullocks and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. New chapter. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. But he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable for a fourth time, and said, maybe this is the third time, and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. It's an interesting thing, the way he words it. And he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty. In the first book of John, 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled with the word of life. And Balaam says, the man whose eyes are opened has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty. So it says he sees, his eyes have looked upon, and he's heard these things. But having his eyes open in that trance, and he says here in verse 5, and this is where he really begins to speak of Jesus, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down, as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? That's exactly what God says of Judah. Almost word for word, he says the same thing. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Balaam gets a curse. Verse 10, new paragraph. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are opened hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. It's almost the exact same way, but now he says, which had the knowledge of the Most High, that being the Father. Verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also, it said in Psalm chapter 2, thou shalt make the heathen for thy possession, shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And he goes on. And he says, and he looked on Amalek. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that which that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. But it says, is not my word like a hammer that shall dash the rock? Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. He took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. But in this, we don't know exactly the time, Balaam does some pretty wicked and awful things. So in chapter 25, it says this. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Suddenly. Verse 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. What does God say in the New Testament to the believer? Don't eat food sacrificed unto idols, and do not commit fornication. And Balaam, the two things he gets them with. They eat food sacrificed unto idols, and they commit fornication. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, it's all connected in here. The Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. It's pretty brutal. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined in the Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. This is not just any Midianitish woman. This is a daughter of Zer, one of the kings of Moab. And this is an important man in Israel. Think of the spite of this man. He knows what's happened. Balaam has tricked them in this. He's got the stumbling block before Israel, is what it says of him, the soothsayer. He couldn't use enchantments against them, but he taught them wickedness. It says in 2 Peter that there are those that teach wickedness. It says in Jude there are those that teach wickedness. And that's what Balaam did. He taught them wickedness. And so, this man in Israel, when Moses says something against it, we're going to kill those that went after Balaam, after the iniquity of Baal Peor. This man is so bold as to take a daughter of one of the kings of Midian and to take her in the middle of the camp and commit fornication with her. And this is what God liked, what is done against them. Beginning, God is for what Eleazar the priest does here. And behold, or Phinehas, the son of Eleazar. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who are weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they're there weeping, looking, and thinking, what has happened here? There's so many that are going to die this day from what happened. And you know what? This man in his pride commits fornication right in front of them. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So 24,000 people die. And how does it get stayed? One man who is very zealous for God runs in and he stops probably one of the most purposeful acts of sin ever committed in Israel. Baal Peor happens. They commit whoredom with the Moabites, with the Midianites rather, and they eat offerings, sacrifice to their gods. And then right in the midst, when Moses said, this is so wicked, we're going to kill these men, a man takes a woman in the middle of it and commits fornication with her. And then Phinehas does something about it, and God is very well pleased with it. And it said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned away the wrath from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it in his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of chief house among the Simeonites. So this man, Zimri, is not a nobody. Think of the pride of this man. He's a man who has this class, this above other men. He has power. He has judgment over others. And he's the one that makes the decision that Moses isn't going to have rule over me. God isn't going to have rule over me. And who's the woman? And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zer. He was head over the people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. And in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. So Moses is going to number the people. He's going to number all those that can fight. And then they're going to go fight. And they're going to fight the Midianites. And it says that they kill Balaam when they fight the Midianites. They're able to kill him. So, let's go to Joshua. They also kill Zer, that king. They kill the man whose daughter was sent, that Midianitish woman. They kill him. And they kill Balaam. So now let's go to Joshua. Let's just see what other men of God say in respect to this, of what has happened. Joshua chapter 24. So the story gets retold again, and Joshua is speaking of this, and then it says in verse 9 in chapter 24 of Joshua, "Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand." So he delivers them out of the hand of... Go ahead.
Even before he actually started the war, because he called Balaam, God called it war.
Correct. It says in the New Testament that these are not just things on this earth, but these are spiritual wars above. There are constantly spiritual wars going on. And when a king, a wicked king, hires somebody to divine and to create enchantments against the people of God, that's a war. Yes, sir. Right. The devil has a great ability to deceive. And you know what it's most of it's not done with? It's not done with things that are before you. Because if you walk in the Spirit, those things that are before you that you see, you'll see them correctly. Where the devil deceives people is in their mind. When the devil curses people, he gets them in their mind. Because the Bible says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So it's the devil, at the devil's will, he takes people captive. So how do you get free from that? How do you recover yourself out of that? Repentance. Repentance. You must change your mind. But the devil has divined against you. He is enchanted against you. God protected Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Could have started with this. And read 1 through 6. Just an interesting thought of where God would place this in his law. "He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." Anybody that was maimed. So this was a time where... Verse 1. We're starting in the beginning. This was a time where God had a covenant with the flesh of man. So if a man was maimed, God had judgment against that man. You think that's really unfair? But God did that for a reason. Verse 2, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with..." I skipped a verse. Verse 3, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." So the Ammonite, which had already been smitten, and that's what Balak was so worried about. Look what they've done to the Ammonites. And he, being the king of Moab, let's do something about that, makes an agreement with Midian to hire these people. And then when it doesn't work out for Balak, Balaam speaks with those people of Midian and gets them to make whoredom with the Midianites and to eat their offerings and to sacrifice offerings to their gods. So it says of the Ammonite and the Moabite, it says, "An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even under their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." And in verse 4, this is why. "Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." They hired a man against them, and it said, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But he turned the curse into a blessing unto thee." Thank God for protecting Israel. So now, Nehemiah chapter 13. We're just trying to follow this through. We're trying to get this bird's eye view, this high level look at it. We'll try to dig in more. So, this isn't the time, trying to rebuild. They've been taken out. They've been in Babylon, and somebody opens up the Bible, and they read that story of Balaam, and they go, ah. Or really, they see what we just read in Deuteronomy, that you're not to have the Moabite and the Ammonite to be part of the congregation, and the men of Israel have been marrying those women. And it says, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1. Read a couple verses. Zane, could you read the first three verses?
Chapter 13.
Yes, sir.
On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to the pass, when they heard the law, that separated from Israel all the mixed multitude.
So God was pretty serious about it. Go ahead, ma'am.
So it's mentioned again about that they met them not with bread and water. So what does that mean exactly? They didn't want to, you know, get the nourishment?
Yes.
That's when they came?
Go ahead.
If that enemy hunger, give him bread to eat. And if he thirst, give him water to drink.
Yeah, that's the verse I was thinking about in my mind.
That's funny.
Yeah. Where it says that Jesus said, if you give a drink of water in my name or something, I can't recall the exact verse.
I thought of the one time where they're asking to go through the land, and they said, we're not going to eat all your crop, we're not going to do all these things, and they even denied them that. And that's the treatment that they got. And these are the people of God. And God wasn't even going to necessarily kill those people, but then they treated Israel like that. And God put a judgment against them. So now, let's go to Micah chapter 6. If you have my exact Bible, it's on page 1156, if that helps. No problem. I think Zane has mine.
You liar, that's Obadiah.
You don't have my Bible.
You have
the same one, Joe.
1156.
1162. Nice. We're learning, man. We're figuring all these numbers mean something. People throw in a number quick. 32.
Which verse am I on?
All right, we're going to start in verse 1. Chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, verse 1.
Thank you.
Caleb, you got Micah? Joshua, help your brother, if and you would.
I cut my nails, now I can't turn
things. I get it. Every time I cut my nails, I struggle too. The old lick the thumb trick.
I got to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then
we'll
get my Bible
page
destroyed. It's
alright.
6:1. Yep. So it's retold again. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. What did he answer? There's no perverseness in Israel. There's no iniquity in Jacob. I cannot speak against these people. I cannot curse what God has blessed. He said, and know the righteousness of the Lord, that ye may know that. He said, look what he consulted, but look what God put in his mouth. So now, let's go to, we're going to consider that Balaam had a doctrine. We see that God protected Israel in this. That's where it gets interesting. God's protected Israel. He couldn't curse him. But there is that iniquity of Baal Peor. And we're going to see the New Testament shines a light of what Balaam did. He looks back and we're going to see that. But we're going to see in the book of Revelations that Balaam had a doctrine. Revelations chapter 2. That's the book after June, if that helps. Yes, ma'am.
Just saying, there's no S on either.
The book of Revelation 1 and 2. Oh, let's read the full title. I got called out on that before. The Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 2.
Well, I wonder if...
All right. Verse 13, I know thy works, speaking to one of the churches, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who is slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. What does he have against him? He just said some great things about him. He said, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. That's what he got him with. He got him with that. The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, meat for the belly, meat's for the belly, and the belly for meats. It had just told him, don't eat meat sacrificed unto idols, do not fornicate. Don't do these two things. Don't do them. Don't do them. Paul says it over and over. And it says, meat's for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. So what do you have meat for? It's for your belly. What do you have your belly for? It's for meat. You put meat in your belly. That's what you do. That's why God gave it to you. And it said, but God shall destroy both it and them. He'll do away with that. But it says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God did not give you a body to fornicate with. God gave you a body for himself. And what is the Lord for? The Lord is for the body. And it says, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up our body, and will also raise up us by his own power. That's what it says of it. And then it says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh. So the people of Israel have committed whoredom with the Midianites and have become one flesh, one body with the Midianites. God said, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And there are those that have committed fornication, and suddenly they're one body, but not with the Lord. But not with the Lord. It says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. For every sin which man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Paul addresses these two things. These two things Paul addresses. He says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. That's why you can eat them. but don't go out of your way to go eat these meats that are sacrificed unto idols. And then he says of fornication, now the body is not for fornication. But what did Balaam get him with? He put a stumbling block. He taught Balak, rather, to put a stumbling block before Israel. And that stumbling block was to eat meat sacrificed unto idols and to fornicate. And to fornicate. It's still there. Fornication is still so strong. And nobody's concerned. It is so, so strong. Stephen said the other day, he said, fornication is any sexual activity outside of marriage. And fornication eats people alive. It eats people alive. That's what got Israel. That's what was stuck in them. And there are those that have the doctrine of Balaam. They keep that faith. They keep the name. But they have the doctrine of Balaam. So now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just read verse 15 real quick before I read more. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam has this doctrine, and he loves the wages of unrighteousness. Yes, ma'am.
Is it 2 Timothy 2:15?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. I'm in 2 Peter. Nice.
He's right.
Peter probably turned to Peter. Did you turn to Peter?
No, I just thought you found Timothy after you looked.
Mm.
That's
funny. Nice. Timothy went to Peter and said his own name, and Peter went to Timothy and knew better.
The verse you had is not the bad one.
Nice. Did it sound the same as I read?
No.
A little different? Okay. Okay. I'll read it again. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So this man Balaam, who had this doctrine that taught the people of Israel to eat meat sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Let's quickly turn to Jude, which is the book right before the revelation of St. John the Divine. For Miss Amy.
You mean the general epistle of Jude?
Yeah, let's turn to the general epistle of Jude. Period. Verse 11. Woe. I'll wait a little longer. Verse 11. Woe unto them! Exclamation point. For they have gone in the way of Cain. What did Cain do? He had what he thought God would show respect to. God showed not respect to it, and Cain became wroth, and his countenance fell, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. What did Balak say to him? I would raise you up high. And what was his error? Fornication and those meats that are sacrificed unto idols, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. They saw those that had power, and Korah said, no, we can't have these people ruling over us. We hate them. And what happened to them? They went quick down into the pit. So now, let's get some context. 2 Peter 2, do that again. 2 Peter 2 and the book of Jude are very, very similar. Let's quickly go through this. Two. In Peter. Second Peter. Several chapters after 1 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that are that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot. So he's building this case. He said if God would even judge those people that we would see as righteous and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They speak evil of things they do not understand. The flesh cannot understand the spiritual. The flesh cannot understand the spiritual. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Balaam got a reward. He got a reward from Balak, and he got a reward from the Lord. And his reward was death. And it says, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. As the pastor said, there's no faith in the carnal flesh. If you've not been born again, there's no faith in it. There's no faith in it. The only wages of the flesh are sin. And Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. And it says of him, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's go to the book of Jude. Almost the exact same thing.
So those would actually go back to what they say in Proverbs too, right?
Yes, ma'am. That is that proverb. As the dog returneth to its vomit. We're going to wrap it up with this. This is the end. The general epistle of Jude, period. Chapter 1167 of my Bible. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So this is the faith that was delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So there's these men that are crept in unawares, and it says that they're before ordained unto this condemnation. Speaking of the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2. For they, of these men, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. It says, let not fornication be named once among you. Peter?
Eternal fire. You said eternal life.
Did I? Eternal life, sorry. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's going to say of these people, just like it did in 2 Peter. 2 Peter said that they're determined for the black darkness of mist. And then it says here, continue on, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Remember, it's not what goes in you that defiles you, but what comes out. Adulteries, fornication, bitterness, malice, these things that come out of a person is what defiles them. And speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, said it the same thing. These angels, higher than us, they won't even speak evil of dignities. And it even says of Michael here in Jude. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation. He didn't even do that against the devil. He wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against him. But said, the Lord rebuke thee. But there are those that will rebuke men of God. There are those that will rebuke people that have been put over them. Miriam did such like, so did Aaron, and God dealt with them. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Same thing it said in Peter. They speak evil of things they know not. What do they know? But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. The carnal cannot understand spiritual. It can. It is a blank slate. There is no spiritual understanding in that which is carnal. There's none. But they defile themselves in that which they know naturally as brute beasts. Peter preached yesterday in Farmersville, and he's spoken of it, that those that will not receive instruction and reproof are brutish. They will not receive it. They are brutes. They don't take that, but they take what they already know naturally and they defile themselves with it. It says here, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. It says almost the exact same thing in 2 Peter. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, twofold child of hell, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It said the mist of darkness in 2 Peter chapter 2. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And that's a prophecy that hasn't happened yet. That's something that's going to happen later. That's something that's going to happen way, way later. Even Moses prophesies that. I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Yes, sir? Yes, ma'am? You'll see the Lord in all caps in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Do you, I don't know if you do. Do you? Does any?
A couple of times, I think it stops
Right. It has to do with which word was used to say Lord. I wondered if that's because it's Jesus Christ, like in the Psalms. It said, the Lord sent unto my Lord. And it'll do one in capital L, lowercase the rest. And then the other one is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It says, the Lord sent unto my Lord. And so I wonder if Lord is just when it's capital L, small O, R, D. I could be wrong on that, but I wonder if it's Jesus Christ. It could be that. Okay. Whew, that idea is cut down. Looks like Tiffany needs to study it out. Nice. So it finishes the description of them. I really don't have a lot to say about it other than just reading it, and it pretty well says itself. Verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Same thing it said. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And I wondered in 2 Timothy 2 whether these people were saved because it said walking after the flesh. But then it says here, having not the Spirit. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Those that are for, as Peter said, eternal fire, these unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you. And it says in 2 Timothy, or 2 Peter 2, I keep doing it. 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, who is able to keep you out of temptation. Or not to keep you out of temptation, but keep you to falling to temptation. And it says here, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Well, that's that story of Balaam. That's about the entire story of Balaam throughout the entire Bible. I'm sure there's more in there. That's just all that I could find of it. What's the doctrine of Balaam? He tricked them. He put a stumbling block before people. And that stumbling block was fornication and eating meat sacrificed to idols. And you know what the response of that was? Is that people get pretty stuck in their ways. A high up man of Israel determined, I'm going to do this in front of everybody. I'm going to be determined to do this in front of everybody. And he did that. And luckily, there was a very zealous man of God who dealt with it. He dealt with that problem. But that is still the same thing that the Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament not to do. Those two things, he keeps saying it. Don't eat meats that are sacrificed unto idols. And don't fornicate. Don't do it. All right, we'll close in prayer. Dustin, would you close in prayer? Amen.